Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Okay, we have multiple speakers on public hearing 5.31, which is a considerative adoption of ordinance to change reference in the Escambia County Code ordinance from Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America.
I like to say it, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of Mexico.
I want you to leave it as the Gulf of Mexico.
In a time when our citizens are struggling with the cost of living and our infrastructure and public services need investment, this kind of performative politics is not where our taxpayer dollars should go. In a time when...
First of all, the Gulf of Mexico was discovered some 500 years ago by some brave people who crossed the oceans and discovered it. And it's been named Gulf of Mexico properly since then. If Donald Trump wants a Gulf of Mexico, he needs to go and discover one, and then he can name it. Until then, it needs to stay the Gulf of Mexico.
I kind of like that one. Go discover your own Gulf, bro. 710 on News Radio 92.3. That was just a sampling of the very upset people who showed up at the county commission meeting on Thursday to dispute the change, what is really a very pro forma, just a formality, essentially, to change the name and the references of the Escambia ordinances, to change all of them from Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America. Now, keep in mind that if you're new to the show or haven't heard me talk about this, John, what's my position?
You do not like name changes.
Very good. So I call it the...
The waste of time?
No, the... Yes.
Yeah.
The Gulf of, I say...
You say Mexico.
That's right.
And then I correct you and say America.
Yeah, and you're wrong. So, okay. So, yeah. No, the president has changed it. Florida has changed it. And Escambia County Commission is just going along with what has already been done by the feds and by the state. If we were talking about what should it be named from scratch, I'd probably support Gulf of America. But we're not. We're talking about what has been named for hundreds of years. And so I say, no, this is ridiculous. It's absurd. That said, the question of what to do in the county commission meeting is its own interesting one. But I thought, I'm actually with the Democrats on this one. Of course, the Democrats were not on the right side when it came to changing all the other names before, so they were wrong then, and the Republicans are wrong now, and you know, everybody has a chance to be wrong and at some point. But I thought it was interesting to listen to the county commissioner's arguments in this. Now, Lumen May is a Democrat, so it's not particularly surprising that he was opposed.
I'm not going to sit here and say there's no fiscal impact, because it is a fiscal impact. If it's nothing but, I mean, our lawyers make a couple hundred dollars an hour. There is a fiscal impact to changing this name. And I agree, if you can't change the hearts and souls of people, change the name of a body of water ain't going to change the climate. So I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay, I mean, you know, it's fine. He's a Democrat and whatever. I don't know what Lumen's position was on changing some of the other names, like of, you know, getting rid of the Confederate statue or the flag or changing names of places that refer to Confederates. I'd be curious to know. I don't happen to know that offhand, so I won't allege anything that I don't remember. But, you know, he doesn't want this particular change. Steve Stroberger, now we get to the Republican. Steve Stroberger, District 1.
So the last couple presidencies, we've been renaming a lot of things, including Army posts, and they're getting named back.
Okay. Good to name them back. Did you disagree with naming them differently? And if so, then why would you favor suddenly naming this differently? Well, he explained.
The truth to me is I think this should have been changed back in 1826 when the Navy Yard was established here in Pensacola. It should have been the Gulf of America then.
And now his reason for that has to do with who protects the Gulf. Okay. Well, I'll let him finish his comments.
I don't know what it was before it was called the Gulf of Mexico. But yeah, the Gulf. But renaming it to the Gulf of America makes sense to me. It's a simple acknowledgement to me of who protects it. It's us. It's our Gulf. It's not about erasing history. It's about celebrating who safeguards the shore. And it's America that does.
But that's not why it's named that. I mean, for that you might call it the Gulf of American Navy. I mean, yeah, it's just, it's a weird argument to me to say, no, we should totally rename it because we have the strongest boats and missiles and planes. Is that why you rename things? I mean, because if that's the case, I mean, we need to look at new names for France and Germany, and I mean, we need to look a little broader in our names,
here's
right?
You know, strength for life.
Everything needs
host,
to be renamed.
Pastor Jane C. Johnson.
Who do you let influence?
What's happening here? Thank you. Okay.
It's just, I don't know. It's
no big deal. So change all the names. I mean, if that's the case, I don't take that argument all that seriously. But also, even back to the 1825 one with the Navy Yard, well, but we didn't. And there's two different arguments you can have. Argument number one, what should you name a thing from scratch? Argument number two, what should you name it given that it's had this name for a long time? And those can be two separate arguments. I told you, I'd be fine if you're coming to me with candidates for the body of water. Gulf of America sounds cool to me. But that's not the situation we're in. We're in the situation where it's been this name for forever. And we should go with the name that has been for forever. I don't believe in name changes, okay? So, and it was actually kind of funny because I think one of the most hilarious moments was that even Commissioner Stroberger got his tongue tied, words messed up. Let's we'll play that for you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays. Just a minor delay on 9 Mile Road westbound as you approach I-10. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And again, just to reiterate, in terms of the Escambia reaction to all of this, I don't think it's that significant of an issue. But a lot of people showed up, and it is ripe for analysis, and it's a good chance to see what your legislators say on something. And so I thought I'd share it with you, even though I don't think that what Escambia was voting on really matters all that much in the grand scheme of things. This coming from a person who cares very much about names and has been very vehemently opposed to this name change as a Republican, as a conservative, because I oppose name changes. Anyway, Steve Stroberger continues, and oh, dear, this one, this one's funny.
And it's us who depends on the jobs, and it's us that provides the security. So I think it should reflect the people who made it what it is. And I say it should be the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America.
Oh.
All right.
Second. Slip of the tongue.
Is that a motion?
Well, we're not done. We're not. All right. Do you have a comment, Commissioner Hopperger?
That's a motion. I say let's make it a Gulf of America.
I'm going to second Commissioner Stroberger's motion.
But point of clarification, is that a motion for the Gulf of Mexico or the Gulf of America? I mean, because I heard Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of America.
Okay, all right. I just want to get that clarification.
Because he said it ought to be Gulf of Mexico, and Lumen's giving him a hard time about that. That's kind of funny.
When I was a kid.
But by the way, that does tell you we all are kind of guilty of that in a sense because we have said it so many thousands of times that it shows the power of the history, which is, again, part of why you shouldn't be changing it.
When I was a kid, I loved the Denver Broncos. I loved them. Everyone in Colorado knew it was Mile High Stadium. Then one day, they changed it to Invesco Stadium. Guess what? It's still Mile High Stadium to me. It's always going to be Mile High Stadium to me. And if you feel Gulf of America is your Gulf of America, or Mexico is not Gulf of America to you, it always can be.
Even Mike Kohler can't get it straight either. But, sir, your argument is to not change it. If it's always Mile High Stadium to you, then it should always be Mile High Stadium to you. Then why should you change it at all? I mean, that's a fair question.
But we change names all the time. It didn't matter if it was Aunt Jemima syrup, if it was Land O'Lakes butter. It didn't matter if it was Washington Redskins. I still go watch them with the Saints. If now they're the Commanders. I mean, you can go on and on. And I agree. I was out with Matt Millstrip coming in to the port. And it was already on the GPS Gulf of America. I didn't do anything with that. It's already on the GPS map. I had nothing to do with that.
Okay. We have recently been changing names a lot, and we shouldn't. That's the point. We shouldn't. And by the way, we did not change the name of Land O'Lakes. Land O'Lakes is still Land O'Lakes. It's just changed the icon from being the, you know, the squaw to being, I don't know, it's a sunrise or something like that now. And that's a good example of how even the fact pattern around some of these topics is hard to keep track of. We did change, or they changed Aunt Jemima from, you know, Pearl Milling Company, which is dumb. Just like changing from the Redskins to the Commanders was dumb, or changing from the Indians to the Guardians is dumb. Okay? But the fact that things have been changed a lot does not justify that they should be changed a lot. That's actually a reason not to change them. All right, here's where it gets interesting. You ready? You ready for the fun? This is the big clip of the day. Okay, this is the one that, well, you'll hear. Okay?
But here's the issue that needs to be discussed. I believe in the rule of law. You may not like an executive order, but this is an executive order that doesn't hurt anyone. It doesn't hurt anyone. If we don't follow executive orders by the governor, no matter if it's DeSantis or a Democrat, we will not have a governing society that can be normal. We can't. We have to accept this. And I've told Molly this in previous discussions. If we get a different governor and they want to change it back, I will honor that. I believe in that. And I think that you should expect us to do that. Do you really want rogue commissioners that will not honor an executive order no matter who it is?
Yes.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, no, you don't. No, you don't. Order. So. Order.
Oh. I heard the gavel. Wow.
And I will tell you that for the remaining 3 or so hours of this meeting, what you gaveled became a repeated reference in the meeting. Not on this subject, but on every other subject about, you know, the use of the gavel to get everybody to stop shouting. Now, I'm in favor of order. I'm in favor of respect. And I don't think the gavel was out of place. It was dramatic, though. And, you know, do you want county commissioners who disobey? And the answer is, honestly, the answer is it depends on the issue. When they have the authority to push back, you want them to push back. Just like I want the Senate and the House to push back on DeSantis' vetoes. Because they actually have the constitutional authority to do that. So I do want that. I don't want rogues. That's kind of a pejorative term. But I do want ones that stand up for truth. You know, if the governor is wrong or the legislature is wrong, you know, you can't just break the rules without there having consequences. And sometimes you break the rules in order to produce the consequences. That's the act of civil disobedience. That's direct action. That's Martin Luther King Jr. That's the whole movement of the 60s in protest against, you know, human rights injustices under Jim Crow laws, right? So you want that at times. But interesting moments in the county commission. It continues.
It's disrespectful to cut off people. I never caught one person off when they're talking. Not one. Let's be respectful. That's a dignity and a human trait that is lacking, and it's lacking in this room. I respect your comments. You should respect what the commissioners say. It is mutual respect. And I appreciate you if you will honor that.
And he continues. And again, keep in mind, you know, Mike is a military guy. He's served in the Navy for, I don't know how many years, but he says he reenlisted 10 times. He upped 10 times, but I don't know the total number of years. I should know that, and I don't know it.
I raised my hand 10 times, 6 commanders and chiefs. I followed their orders. If the governor of the United States or governor of Florida says that we're going to change it to Gulf of Mexico, I'm going to honor that. And if y'all don't like me for doing it, I'm sorry. But I will do that. And I honestly think I'm on the right side of this. I don't have, and as far as administratively, it's minuscule. I have no problem with the word America. I love America. This is a place I defended. And if it's Gulf of Mexico for you, it's Gulf of Mexico for you, and I respect that. But I'm going to vote for Gulf of America.
So here's just a couple of thoughts, okay? 437-1620. Thought number one is the reason I favor keeping names is because that's a way of preserving history, continuity of reference. I don't believe in changing language. I hate the way terms get shifted and changed all the time. You know what I mean? I'm a language purist. Keep the term so that we know what we're talking about. And if you go for the Gulf of America, which a lot of my fellow Republicans and conservatives have bought into this idea, you have completely lost your ability to oppose future name changes by anybody else. When it comes with political correctness, you're stuck. Because you didn't say anything here. See, I figure I'm preserving my ability to object the next time they try to sanitize something. Because I object to always sanitizing these things. 437-1620. The other note is how the vote turned out.
Got a motion and a second. Please vote.
What's the vote going to be? 4-1, right? 4 Republicans, 1 Democrat?
Motion. All those opposed? Motion passes 3-2.
The what now? Stephen Barry voted with Lumen May against the name change. As a Republican in what can only be described as high Trump country, you know, the North End. That was surprising to me. Did not explain the decision. By the way, I don't necessarily disagree with Stephen. I might have voted against this. I'm right on the line on this one. I hate the name change, but I view this as a very minor ministerial function within aligning Florida, the Florida directive with our Escambia County, okay? I don't know that I'd put up a fight over this one. I'm not sure what I would vote. I'm right on the edge on this one. I thought it was interesting that the Republican voted with the Democrat against the name change. He also voted against the ICE memorandum of agreement, which I thought was weird. That one I would have voted for. So take that for what you will. Okay, but he voted against it without comment. 437-1620, lots of text. We'll see if we can get to them after the break. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see that delay due to congestion and construction. It's after Highway 29, too, so be aware of that. Let's see here. One more. If you're on Davis Highway southbound, approaching Olive Road, just expect a minor delay again in front of the hospital. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who do you let influence you? Proverbs 1:10 says, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Those who promote evil are vying for your attention, approval, and even involvement. As Americans, we are faced with a barrage of sinful temptations promoted by others. Whether it's through social media, music, movies, or even in person, the world around us is full of enticing influences. One of the key elements to spiritual and mental success is to learn how to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Surround yourself with Christ-like people who have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Remember, if sinners entice thee, and they will, consent thou not, and your heart will both be liberated from guilt and strengthened with joy.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
A couple of texts, 437-1620 on the subject of Escambia County changing the name from Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America in the local ordinances. It is a frivolous change in name. However, where are all the inclusive argument people? America's more inclusive. It includes Canada, U.S., Mexico. Heck, argument can be made that Central and South America are more inclusive than Mexico. Interesting thought. It'll always be Three Mile Bridge, not the Chappie James Causeway or anything like that. It's the Three Mile Bridge. What if Trump changed it? Somebody else says, what if Trump changed it to Gulf of America so that it would include all the other American nations as opposed to Gulf of America? Because the bottom southwest corner of Gulf of Mexico is the Bay of Campeche, so separating that, how much of Mexico is actually touching the Gulf, how much of the Gulf touches America, and we should just change the name every 5 years. Think of the t-shirt sales we can generate.
What? Think of the t-shirt sales?
I actually thought, somebody texted this in earlier, and I thought it was a good point. It says, what would you think if the president decided to change it to New America instead of New Mexico?
That's a good idea.
Just stop it. God. No. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
That is it. Think of the t-shirts. Come on now.
Think of the t-shirts. Think of the children. Go on.
Well, at least 9 people have died, dozens more hurt after a fire hit a nursing home in Fall River, Massachusetts. That's according to the city's fire chief. The fire was reported Sunday at the Gabriel House assisted living facility. The Trump administration is appealing a judge's order halting how some federal immigration raids are carried out in California. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem confirmed that appeal during an interview with NBC's Meet the Press. The order was issued Friday and applies to several counties in Southern California. Hundreds of people are detained at Alligator Alcatraz. Some lawmakers did their tour on Saturday. They're claiming that there are up to 32 people per cage at that facility.
You know what I would like to know? I would like to know how many people that went to this particular tour also have toured, say, a state prison, a county jail. I'd like to know how conditions compare, you know, frankly. Because my suspicion is that the conditions at the detention facility for ICE are pretty comparable or maybe even better than, for example, a state prison.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump is expected to make a major statement on Russia this morning.
The Russians keep getting more and more aggressive. So now President Trump is teasing a 1-2 punch to hit Putin where it hurts. Some new sanctions for Russia, some new weapons for Ukraine.
Fox's Peter Doocy. The president is going to meet with the NATO Secretary General this morning, and former President Joe Biden defending his use of the auto pen to grant a large batch of pardons and commutations at the end of his term in an interview with the New York Times.
The former president insisting that even though he didn't personally sign the final version of every official document, he made every decision on his own. He admits he did not approve each name he pardoned, but rather approved the criteria for a reduced sentence.
That's Fox's Ryan Schmelz. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 79 degrees. We'll get our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. An amendment has been filed to the Defense Appropriations Bill that would keep the Blue Angels home base right here in Pensacola forever. District 1 Congressman Jimmy Patronis filing that amendment on Friday. He says not in response to any imminent danger of the Blues moving, but just in celebration of their 70th anniversary here.
You'll get arguments that, you know, whether it be hurricanes or need for resources or investment. So this is protection language we're putting in place. We've also secured some more money to help them repair their hangar from the hurricane damage that it sustained.
Patronis does say by filing that amendment in an appropriations bill, it's got a better chance of passing than if it were filed in standalone legislation. That amendment would prevent defense funding from being used to move the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron from Pensacola. Of course, we'll get more on that here later on when Congressman Patronis is on Pensacola's Morning News. Democrat lawmakers touring Alligator Alcatraz over the weekend. They're calling the conditions inhumane. Representative Maxwell Frost with these comments following the tour.
We saw people, of course, yelling for help. We even heard in the background someone yell, "I'm an American citizen." They started chanting Libertad, freedom, liberty.
The lawmakers said they'd intended to visit the site unannounced, but the tour was arranged, they say, after the state became aware of their plans. Well, a grieving father says he wants justice after his son was killed in the Middle East. A funeral was held in Tampa yesterday for Saif Mousselet. The Palestinian-American was killed last week in the West Bank while he was there visiting family. The Tampa resident was 20 years old. He worked at his family's business in Tampa. Palestinian officials say he was beaten to death by Israeli settlers. Mousselet's father says he believes the settlers are terrorists. He's also accusing them of dehumanizing Palestinians, and he thinks the U.S. government should do something about it. Well, Senator Rick Scott says he thinks New York Democrats might be driving more people to move to Florida. Scott was in New York. He went on a radio show yesterday where he discussed Zohran Mamdani's recent win in the city's Democrat primary for mayor. Scott says he thinks that elected Democrat officials in New York appear to be recruiting people to move to Florida. He's predicting Mamdani's win could kill jobs, hurt education, and make it less safe in New York. 7:34 right now at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick check with our with Brooke Richardson and our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms today, high near 93 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 81. For Tuesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 94. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Going into Wednesday, a 70% chance of rain with a high near 90 and a low near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 78 degrees, partly cloudy skies. And let's check in now with John Pickens, get our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see some delays due to that construction and congestion through that construction zone. But other than that, I-10, the rest of I-10, 110 look good. If you are on Highway 29 around 10 Mile Road, you're going to see some delays southbound with that also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very, very much, John. Again, we've got 78 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Our next news at 8, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The European Union said it would extend its suspension of countermeasures to U.S. tariffs until early August and continue to press for a negotiated settlement as President Trump's administration demanded more concessions from trading partners. Trump said he would impose a 30% tariff on most imports from the EU and Mexico starting August 1st. Boeing has reached a settlement with a Canadian man whose wife and three children were killed in a deadly 2019 crash in Ethiopia, averting the first trial connected to the devastating event that led to a worldwide grounding of MAX jets. Terms of the deal were not disclosed publicly. Shares of Walgreens Boots Alliance have overwhelmingly approved the drugstore chain's $10 billion acquisition by private equity firm Sycamore. Walgreens shareholders will receive $11.45 per share from Sycamore Partners per the terms of the deal, first announced in March. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 279. The NASDAQ down 45. That's Your Money Now.
Not all service companies are created equal. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, and we're proud to say we're a local, family-owned small business serving our community for over 50 years. In 1972, my dad, Louis Barberry, started this company with a vision of providing the best quality service with honesty and integrity for the community. Small businesses are the heart of America, and when you support a locally owned small business, you help to keep your community strong. We are not one of those plumbing franchise companies that will charge you an arm and a leg. At Barberry Plumbing, we always use the flat rate pricing so you know exactly how much the job will cost before the work begins. No franchise fee to pass along. You may not need a plumber today, but when you do, call Pensacola's best plumber, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy over the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season. News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a highlight of our year that we have to do to perform at the end of the season here in November and over the beach tomorrow. We cannot wait to perform for you and see you out there. Please bring in the energy you have the last couple days. Anytime we get to hear it over the radio, it gets us fired up. With that, 2025 Blue Angels, ready, Mike!
That, of course, was Blue Angel 1, the boss, Commander Adam Bryant, at the Friday night reception at the Hilton that they put together every year before the Blue Angels air show. Or actually, it's kind of in the middle because it's after the dress rehearsal but before the Saturday show, and it's always a good time. I saw somebody there that was kind of – a lot of people go to this thing. It's always fun every year. I saw somebody there that was the first time I had seen him there, and it was kind of cool to see him. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman, who joins us by phone right now. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. What an event. I mean, if I had my fire marshal's hat on, we would have asked the people to leave. That place was packed.
It was well attended. But that was your first time going to the reception, right?
It was. I had been to the air show years ago, but that's the first time I had been to the reception. And, you know, my boys got to meet some of the Blue Angels and, you know, just a lot of great community folks there. And but for a weekend of just support for the Blues and the destination and just you know, patriotism. What a great experience for my family.
One of the things that I love about that event is that they celebrate all the civilian acts because they are so important to the air show industry and to our air show as well. I also love they celebrate all the enlisted and the maintainers who all get to, many of whom get to go. I will tell people, I'll tell on you just a little bit because it was kind of funny. The Blue Angels are always surrounded by a little circle of people that want to meet them, and there's always a line to meet any of the Blue Angels. There was also a circle in line to meet our congressman, Jimmy Petronas. There were people waiting in line to meet him, too. So he was the other local celebrity.
But the kind of the crazy thing was, is, you know, when you have somebody who spends, you know, $6 million trying to destroy you out there, throwing your face in, you know, ugly ways all over, you know, TV and radio, you know, people start to recognize you a little bit more. So, I mean, I was kind of a poster child there for a while for what my opponent hated in life. So, anyway, thank goodness that there was more that liked me than did like me.
No,
so,
that's absolutely. It was neat.
People.
Agreed. And you guys, I guess you were at a hotel. You got to watch it. You thought I'm assuming you thought the air show was amazing, right? Since you said you'd been a few years since you've seen it.
Yeah. You know, so I'm assuming I didn't like see a run of show, but I don't know if that was the Red Bull helicopter that came out or what, but, you know, came out, did a total 360, which, you
yes.
know, still I think is, you know, mathematically impossible to pull off, but it did. And then the stunt pilots, those guys, I think they truly have no fear. You know, what they were doing, you know, out there over the Gulf was unbelievable.
It was. And I think you're right. I think it was Red Bull who pulled the full barrel roll. I'm like, the what now? You know, and then when they do that stuff, you probably grew up in the Blue Thunder era where, you know, you can't roll a helicopter. Right. But, you know, well, we did.
That's exactly, yeah.
Hey, speaking of the Blue Angels, you actually filed a bill last week. It's been a lot in the news. I know our news department's covering it. The bill is designed to protect NAS Pensacola as being the home of the Blue Angels. It's part of the NDAA, if I'm not mistaken. Has that been enacted? And also, how strong of a protection is that? Because, of course, I love it, but I also worry that, you know, some enterprising congressperson from some other place might try to repeal that same thing in the future under more adverse circumstances. But you tell me.
So a few things. One, it's just extra belt and suspenders to keep it in place. Perfect example with the Big Beautiful Bill. John Cornyn had placed in it an amendment. Now, I'm not sure if this amendment got stripped out. I think it ultimately did. But he had put an amendment in the Big Beautiful Bill, and I think with an appropriation of about $20 million, to move the space shuttle from the museum at Washington Dulles Airport and move the space shuttle to Texas.
Oh.
So, I mean, with just as simple with a piece of legislative act, you can take something that's a fixture or a component or an element of one, you know, government-owned and operated facility and move it to another one if the law instructs you to do it. So I think it's important that you just put a little bit of extra emphasis. But at the same time, it's a little bit of a way to fire people up to ensure that there's enthusiasm for the Blues. There has been efforts from Jacksonville, there's been efforts from San Diego, there's been efforts from Texas. I mean, there's places that would cut off their right arm to be able to have the Blues in their own backyard as their home. So, you know, we're going to be able to secure a little bit more money for repairing the butt for the hangar. The hangar is in terrible shape. And, again, just make sure their home is always Pensacola.
Yeah, no, I good to see the funding. Good to see the Blues getting even a little bit more protection to stay here, because certainly, you know, every once in a while it comes up as a subject of, you know, this could happen. And we're all like, you know, and it's part of the motivation to make sure that Escambia County stays a very, very military and Navy friendly place. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. By the way, you scared me a little when you said that the senator was thinking about moving the, you know, shuttle Discovery from the Udvar-Hazy. In because that's a great display. I love that. And we just saw that a couple, you know, within the last year, basically. Anyway, we're talking to Jim Petronas. We'll be back with him in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report right now. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, know that there's about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman. Jimmy, this hasn't gotten an awful lot of attention, but I think it's important. You were working on a bill. I can't remember if you sponsored it or if you were just a co-signer. H.R. 3902, Restoring Federalism in Clean Water Permitting Act. Can you explain this bill? Because I think it's important, and I don't think it got almost any attention, really. But since we have you on, I wanted to have you talk about it a little bit.
Well, the good thing about it is even the governor brought it up with the president a little bit over a week ago at his tour in South Florida at Alligator Alcatraz. State of Florida had been given delegation. That means we have been given authority to do what are called dredge and fill permits. So sometimes in Florida, you know, you may be developing a site, whether it be a wastewater treatment plant, a school, a hotel, a hospital, you name it. And if there's something wet on the site, you have to offset that wet with a mitigation plan. So we had the ability to manage all of that in-house in the state of Florida. Federal judge had struck it because of some language dealing with the Endangered Species Act that ultimately took that away from us. Meanwhile, the Corps of Engineers, who was the original authority over those permits, then had to go back to doing their old job. The Corps of Engineers does not have the ability anymore because they basically said, look, since the state of Florida is doing it, we don't have to worry about the manpower to manage those permits anymore. Well, now they're really getting themselves overwhelmed because all the backlog of permits now are being handled by a skeleton crew. So we're trying to create some common sense, some streamlining language with some deadlines where we're telling the federal government, look, review this process. You know, if the federal government is going to retain this process, then we're going to put a timeline in place where those permits have to be issued. And so it's either like kind of put up or shut up. You're going to do it and put the resources in it and take the program back over. If you're not, Florida's ready to take it right back over again.
It sort of reminds me of a couple of years back when we had the backlog in concealed carry permits, and there was an effort to make a bill. As I recall, I don't think it passed in the end, but the effort was to force the agriculture secretary to issue the permit unless they can show that it needs to be held after a certain period of time. And it sounds like that same kind of thing with the Army Corps getting overwhelmed. You're basically saying, look, it's fine, but we can't let an inadequate bureaucracy thwart these hospitals and wastewater treatment plants and all of that just because of the timeline. Is that basically how I'm understanding this?
That's basically it. You know, because, I mean, the permitting process, I mean, I think these agencies have oversight. They're well-intended, but they do get overwhelmed. But, you know, but I've totally been in meetings before with them, and you can see where they also, at time to time, individuals will have their own agendas. So, you know, we're basically saying we're going to create some predictability. The soft cost when it comes into doing a school or a wastewater treatment plant, they're already high enough. But now if you drag it out for another 6-8 months, a year, then sometimes you make these projects not even, you know, fiscally warranting the investment. And for some people, that's a win.
Right.
But when you're talking about things like the reservoir down at the Everglades and then, you know, statutorily assigned to build in order to help, you know, keep the Everglades clean, and you can't build those projects, then, you know, it has an adverse effect on the environment.
Most definitely. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I don't, you know, again, I don't think it's gotten a lot of coverage, and I know it's something you were closely involved in. I wanted to talk about it for a second. You mentioned it a moment ago. Alligator Alcatraz is, of course, big in the news right now. A bunch of Democrats went and visited the facility. Two questions for you, Congressman Petronas. One is, have you visited that facility? And I don't assume you had. It's way outside of your particular area, of course. But the second question is, there's been, you know, the governor had talked about the possibility of opening one of those somewhere in the panhandle maybe as well. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard anything about that?
No, yes, I heard the rumor. I think it was me based on the success of how Alligator Alcatraz was performing. It's you had county jails that a couple things were happening. One, some of the county jails were getting filled with illegals that weren't supposed to be here. And the county jails and the county are saying, hey, who's paying my bills to feed and house these folks and their health care?
Yeah.
So the state really needed to come up with some type of a solution, and that's where this came in. The federal government, you know, is enthusiastic about the project, but again, I think if something like this is going to be needed moving forward, then we're going to put everything on the table, I think, from even kind of repurposing maybe even a wing at a current state prison. I think there's a number of things that we will revisit in order to try to make something like this happen. The convenience down there is you have the ability to house them, feed them, you know, kind of minimal with the type of fencing that you would need, because it is in the middle of Everglades, even though it is a secure facility, but then you had the ability to fly them out at the same place.
You know, it's an interesting point you make about the cost share, because we've had several times the conversation has come up, particularly in the Escambia County Commission meeting. I don't think it's come up in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, if I remember correctly, where getting reimbursed by the state or the feds for prisoners that we have in our jail has been a real problem. And, you know, that's funding, like you say, that's funding that the county is having to outlay for somebody else's incarceree. And so if that's a problem, then creating a facility like this is actually a way of clarifying the funding and also alleviating the pressure on some of your local governments. And I had not been thinking about that dimension of it, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Last thing,
yeah,
I want to go ahead.
It's real, but I'm not trying to stir it up. I mean, look, I think you've definitely seen a lot of attention being brought to this particular issue, but it does cost money. And if we're going to continue to operate these facilities, then I think we also need to try to think outside of the box. And if we've got the ability to kind of repurpose an existing facility, you know, do some personnel management, I think there's probably a cheaper cost per inmate type of, solution that's on the table too.
Last thing I wanted to ask you is, last hour we had a really extensive conversation. Gallup does tracking of a poll that they've been giving for more than almost 30 years, and it shows, it asks the question of how patriotic are you, and if you describe as very or extremely, that's the highline number. That number has been pretty consistent for Republicans, around 90% for about 25 years. Independents and Democrats, it has really trended down over the last about 15 years or so. Even before Trump won, it was still trending down. it's now below 50% or right around 50% for both Republicans and both Democrats and independents, and particularly for young people, millennials and Gen Z. It's like 40% total that say I'm very or extremely patriotic. This horrifies me for the state of our country, the future of our country. Whatever the cause is, that cannot be healthy for us. What do you think?
No, and you know, what this is, like, to me, one of the biggest reasons why the administration has continued to try to find excuses and ways to allow TikTok to exist in the United States. I met a young man the other day. He stops me. He says, he recognizes me that I'm a politician. He's introduced somebody that I'm a member of Congress. We start talking. So I'm thinking, all right, here's a young man. He was 19, I believe. And I said, so how do you consume your news? So where do you get all your news from? Because he's very opinionated.
Yeah.
And it was interesting hearing his political disposition. Very opinionated. The only place he got any of his news was from Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Ugh.
Nowhere else.
Ugh.
He just doesn't watch anything else. So you've got this generation, just like you were speaking to a second ago, that, you know, if we're allowing that content to get into a mode where it's not patriotic, yeah, we're going to lose that generation because they just don't watch TV news anymore.
The more I think about it, the more I think about the youth and also where they get their information and how that will be a factor in that element of patriotism. So, oh, great. Okay, so the problem's even worse than I thought. Fantastic. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you so much. Great to see you on Friday, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
All right, brother. I just shot you an email on the space shuttle.
Okay. All right. I will follow up on that. Thank you, because that was a beautiful display. We went to see that last year. Thank you so much. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you're down to about a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Let's see here. Not seeing any other delays. 90, 98, 9 mile. They all look good right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Culver's introduces their new chicken sandwiches, adding a new spin to their classic chicken sandwich and taking them to the next level. Bigger, juicier chicken with crispier, crunchier breading. You can get yours crispy, spicy crispy, or grilled with your favorite toppings made fresh just for you. Visit Culver's today, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, or Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery is available with DoorDash and Uber Eats, and curbside service is now available. From Wisconsin with love, it's Culver's. Welcome to Delicious.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Attention boaters! Marine Max Pensacola invites you to Cheeseburger in Paradise, a two-day raft-up event on the beautiful shores of Fort McRae. This Friday and Saturday, get ready for loads of fun in the sun, complimentary cheeseburgers from Southern Grits Culinary, and live entertainment from Ben Lofton and the family. Don't miss the event of the summer, brought to you by Marine Max Pensacola, your premier Grady White, Boston Whaler, Sea Ray, and Aquila dealer. Register today at marinemax.com.
When
when breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Vince Shockley, don't you die on me!
See, we won't forget where we came from. This city.
Clint Eastwood's the best. I hadn't watched that movie in probably 35 or 40 years. The Gauntlet. Do you remember that one? The cop trying to deliver the, friendly police, actually, but it's entertaining, and it's Clint Eastwood. And nag, nag, nag. Kind of sounds like Christian Slater when I do it, which he also says that in Heathers. Okay. We'll be back with Sheriff Bob Johnson here in just a minute after local news with David Wayne at Fox News, top of the hour. See you in a bit.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and...